Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I'm glad that even though sometimes the clouds roll in and everything gets dark, that I can stand and say at the end of the day that God is still good. He has provided for me. Most of all, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He provided a way of salvation for me. If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter number 19. Before we get into the message this morning, I was asked to announce that there is a sign-up sheet for the farm visit in the back. So if you would like to go or your kids are going to go to that, if you will, sign up just so we kind of get a idea of how many pizzas to buy and what kind of transportation we may need. Also, before we get started, I want everybody to pray for Zach Weddle this morning because he just lied outright to me just a few minutes ago. I asked him if he would sing an invitational song for us, and he said, well, I can't because Stephanie ain't here. And I come in, and Stephanie's standing right here in the choir. So Zach is a liar, and we're just going to pray for Zach. And we're still going to let him sing, though. So when you come up to sing, just take you a few minutes and repent, and it'll be okay. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. If you're here visiting with us this morning, we just want to welcome you. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and join us at Fellowship Baptist Church. Look, if you need anything, we have guys all over the church this morning that are kind of just keeping an eye out, and also they're there for you. So they're here to serve our congregation and whatever means that they need to serve our congregation. As you go out the doors, you'll probably bump into somebody. If you need anything, you ask them and they'll point you in the right direction. If they can't, they'll come in here and find one of the ladies that can point you in the right direction. But somehow or the other, we'll find what you need, and we'll get you taken care of. We do want to welcome you. We don't take your presence for granted. However, I do not believe that you're here by coincidence. I believe you're here by the divine will of God. I believe that God pointed you in this direction this morning, and that for some reason or the other, you decided to listen to God, and you came. Now, as we're here, let's take everything else and throw it out for a few minutes. Let's listen for the still, small voice of God and let Him speak to us. I usually don't preach very long. I'll preach just as fast as you'll listen. And when God says I'm done, I'll do my best to hush and get out of the way and we'll go home. But until then, let's take a few minutes and listen for God's voice. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, we know this morning, and we have experienced it in our lives, and we experience it in Scripture. You can see it time and time again, that when Jesus passes by, amazing things happen, that miracles happen, and that there's things that happen in people's lives that there's no other way in the world to explain it except for God moved in an amazing way. So now I want us to go to the Lord in word of prayer. And I'll ask you to pray with me. The Bible tells me where any two or three are joined together in one thing that God said, I'll do it. If two of you agree is touching any one thing, He said, I'll do it. And He also said, where two or three of you are come together in my name, I'll be in the midst. And I've already felt God here this morning, but I want us to pray together and ask God just to be in the midst of us this morning and to work in an amazing way as He passes by. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I'm so unworthy to be in Your house. God, I'm not worthy to stand here and preach. God, You know my life. God, You know sin enters in. God, You know I have to repent and try my best to keep my relationship where it's supposed to be with You. And God, I pray that You'll forgive me, God, for the times that I fail You. And God, help me to always be what You'd have me to be. And God, I want to thank You for my family that's here with me this morning. God, as we're sitting all over this congregation, I know that every family here has needs. We have things that we need You to take care of. God, we have burdens. But God, we also have reasons to praise You and to worship You. And God, may we take care of all of those things while we're here together this morning. God, I pray, dear Father, that You'll just touch in an amazing way. God, I pray that You'll pass by. Let Your Spirit fall on this congregation this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know You as their personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. As we continue reading in verse number 2, Jesus is passing through Jericho. Now, this is a very familiar story, nothing that you've not heard before. If you've been in church since you were teeny tiny, you've probably even sung a song about this scripture. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now, if we were going to rewrite that verse in my language today, and we would say, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a cheater," which was, hey, he would do anything that it took for that next dollar. The Bible teaches us that publicans were tax collectors, and it says here that he was the chief tax collector. So I have a feeling that Zacchaeus didn't have a whole lot of friends. Zacchaeus didn't have, except for the people who were in his little circle and who were also benefiting from his wrongful dealings, from his cheating ways, from whatever he was doing to gain that extra dollar. And as we look here, and it says, "And Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus and who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. As we get into the scripture and just take a quick look at it, just for a few minutes, and we see that Zacchaeus, again, probably didn't have a lot of friends, didn't have a whole lot of people who probably spoke well of him, because I want you to look, even after he met Jesus here, that there was people saying, "I cannot believe that Jesus is going to go eat with this man." I want to tell you what, this morning, we as a church and we as Christian people, we need to get off our high horses and quit judging everybody else for what they're doing. Realize that we're just sinners saved by the grace of God, and you take the Holy Spirit out of me and I'm capable of doing anything. There is no telling what I might would do if I didn't have Jesus Christ living on the inside of my life. And we need to quit reaching out and saying, "I want to know what Jesus is doing talking to them," or "what Jesus is doing talking to them." We need to realize what we really are and go, "You know what? Maybe it's my responsibility to reach out as a light, as God has given me the responsibility to be a light." And we need to reach out into a lost and a dying world, quit judging them, and take them Jesus. Amen. Because I'm bad for it too, church. I just want you to know, we all are. If they don't meet our expectations, they don't meet what we think is a good candidate for Christ, I want you to know the best candidate for Christ is a lost person. That's it, point blank. If they're lost, they're a good candidate to meet Jesus Christ. But as Zacchaeus is here, he's wanting to know what Jesus is all about, because I want you to look. In verse number 3, he says, "And he sought to see Jesus and who he was." You know, I don't know what brought you here to Fellowship Baptist Church this morning. I don't know. Maybe you're saved, and maybe you come here every Sunday, and this is just your routine, and that's fine, and that's great, and I'm glad you're here. But I want to tell you something. I hope you didn't just come here because it's a habit. I hope you come to see Jesus and who he is and what he can be in your life, because I'm going to tell you who he is. He's somebody that loved you so much that even though he knew you were going to sin and that you were going to continue to fail, even after he rescued you, that he loved you so much that he was willing to give his life on a cross, that he was willing to let people spit on him, that he was willing to let people just beat him to death, honestly to death, and drive nails into his hands, into his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head and mock him and make fun of him. He loved you so much, and he is willing to do absolutely anything in this world for you, and out of this world, he is willing to give you eternal life. Recognize Jesus for who he is and what he has done. Hey, we're good at saying, "Yes, I know Jesus," but is Jesus doing in your life what he wants to do, or are we just limiting him in our lives? He says, "And he sought to see Jesus and who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before..." Now listen, I'm going to pick at one of my daughters right here just a minute. I can't help it. I love her to death. She's going to turn 12 tomorrow. Addie, where you at? There's my Addie. Stand up, Addie. There's my Addie. Now, yes, tomorrow she's going to turn 12, and she can't help it, but she's of little stature. She's my little short. I mean, Maggie, she's just 9, and she stands about that much taller than Addie, and I love picking at Addie. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if she was as big as her heart, she would be a gigantic person, because she's got a huge heart. And we went to take her to ride go-karts yesterday, and you had to be a certain height to ride the go-karts. Well, Maggie had her ponytail stuck right up on the top of her head. So Maggie passed. Maggie was smart. And they said, "Okay, where's the birthday girl? Let's measure her." And we took her over there, and you could see Addie as she's standing there beside that post. She was going, she growed an inch. I mean, because she went right up on her tiptoes, and she was still too short. So you know what it's like to be of little stature. You know, some of you guys that are in here and you're 6'3 and whatnot, I don't even want to talk to you no more. I'm done with that. But I know what it's like to be of little stature. And Zacchaeus, it says here that he wanted to see Jesus. But he couldn't because there was a great big crowd around him. There were so many people around that he couldn't see over the top of them. And he knew he was going to have trouble seeing Jesus. However, he said, I want to see him so bad, I'll do anything. So the Bible tells us that he went out and that he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Verse number four, and he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now look, Zacchaeus had a problem. His problem was that he was short. And so what Zacchaeus thought. Zacchaeus thought that his biggest problem was that he was short. And that he was of little stature and he would not be able to see Jesus. But see, Zacchaeus had a problem that was much larger than what he thought. And the Bible tells us that there was a sycamore tree that Zacchaeus would climb up in, and that Zacchaeus from this sycamore tree would be able to see Jesus. Okay, now I think I may have seen this quote on Facebook or on something that I read. I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but when I saw it, it struck me right straight in the head. That sycamore tree was planted way before Zacchaeus knew he had a need for it. That sycamore tree was put there way before Zacchaeus ever knew that he was going to need to climb that tree to see Jesus. And as that sycamore tree was there and as it was growing, it didn't know what its purpose was. But God had a purpose for that tree, and God had placed it there in the middle of Zacchaeus' life in order for Zacchaeus to be able to see Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to think in our lives, there have been things that have been placed in our life. Now, let me be real careful how I say this. There are things that have happened in your life that God did not cause. But there is everything in your life God has allowed. There have been things that happened in my life that God didn't cause. I made choices that caused it, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I made choices that caused things to happen in my life. But I believe wholeheartedly with everything in me that anything that has happened in my life that God had control of and that he had allowed it to take place in my life. Now, what I want to ask you this morning is, as you look through your life and you see the things that have happened in your life, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad, that there are things that have been placed in your life that you may be able to see Jesus. But are we using those things to see Jesus? Now, you say, preacher, you got me confused. I don't know where you're going with this. Look, there have been great successes in my life. Some of you have experienced great successes in your life. You take the day that your children were born, the day that you held that brand new baby in your arms, and the day that you looked and you know mama said it's time to go to the hospital, and man, you, as a dad, you didn't know whether to drive slow and not hit the bumps or drive fast because she was screaming. You didn't have a clue what to do. And you walk into the hospital and, man, I'm know that myself, and I'm the worry ward of our family, the first thing I done was I began to worry, is everything going to be okay? Is everything going to be healthy? Is mama going to be all right? Is baby going to be all right? Hey, I want somebody in here with us. I don't know what's going on. So I can remember that happening. But you know, I remember the first time that I held Silas in my hands. There was no disputing. I believe that if I have never heard the name of Jesus, I believe that I would have known that that was a gift from God that I was holding in my hands. It was a great success in my life. It was a great, awesome thing that God had placed in my life. And I believe that God allows little things like that sometimes in our lives that we may be able to see that there is a God and that Jesus loves us and that Jesus is there for us and that he gave us this gift in our life. Now, it may be something different in your life. It may be a great financial gain that you've had somewhere in your life. It may be a great career opportunity that God placed in your life. There may be something that has been a great success, an awesome thing that has happened in your life. And looking through that, you were able to see God has blessed me. I don't know why God bless me, but I'm going to use this to turn my attention toward God. I'm going to use this to turn my attention and see Jesus and see him for who he is and what he does and what he has given me. But you know, there's also a flip side to that. Some of you have experienced some great failure, and when I say failure, I don't mean just that you fell on your face, but also just some really bad things that's happened in your life. Some of you have experienced some things that broke your heart, that put burdens in your life, that made you feel heavy. Some of you experienced some things that I don't know that I would have walked through as strong as you did. Some of you are still here this morning worshiping a God that actually may have allowed something in your life that you don't understand. Some of you are still here and you have decided to use something that God allowed to be placed in your life in order for you to see Jesus. Because you see, some of you have taken something that was bad. Some of you have taken your marriage breaking up. Some of you have taken your family being torn apart. Some of you have taken that and you've begun to realize, you know what? I know that God didn't cause that. I know that God didn't want that, but this has been a yield in my life. And I'm going to take this yield that God has allowed to happen in my life, and I'm going to turn my eyes to Jesus. Instead of saying, God, I can't believe that you allowed this to happen, instead of saying, God, I'm mad at you now because this has happened, you look and you say, okay, this has happened. Now, God, I need to see you. Jesus, I need to see you. I need you to work in my life. Some of you have experienced great loss through death. Some of you have experienced great loss through different things happening in your life. Some what we would, not necessarily a failure, but some great loss in your life. And I want to encourage you this morning to use that sycamore, to use this thing that has been placed way before you ever knew it was going to be there. Because I want to tell you something this morning. Again, God does not cause everything, but if your marriage has went through a divorce, if you have lost touch with your children, if you have went through just something terrible in your life, you've had a loss of a family member, God knew those things were going to happen, and he allowed that in your life, and you're in a place now to where you can either go, okay, I'm going to look and I'm going to see Jesus through this, or I'm going to stay at home. Zacchaeus could have just stayed at home and said, you know what, it's too hard, I'm not going. There's no way that I can do this. But instead, he said, you know what? I want to see Jesus. Some of us may be in a crossroads this morning. There may be something going on in your life right now, and you're saying, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if going on for God is worth it. I don't know if trying is worth it. I don't know if I want to continue to try to live my life in the way that God wants me to live it. But I want you to know that wherever you're at in your life and whatever obstacle is in your way, see, Zacchaeus, he thought he had an obstacle of being short, but his obstacle was in his heart. And as Zacchaeus went out there that day and he said, you know what, I know I may not be able to see Jesus, that he didn't know that sycamore tree was already placed there for him. And wherever you're at in your life, I promise you that God has a way of using your situation to bring you closer to him, to bring glory to his name, and to point others to the cross of Christ if we're living and researching for God in our lives, searching for God in our lives. Things are not always just exactly the way we want them. I'm sure Zacchaeus didn't want to have the obstacle of having to climb a tree to see Jesus, but I want you to look what happened. Not only, verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Look, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. You may be in a place in your life this morning that you've come to see exactly what Jesus is about, or why am I in the middle of this place, or why do I have this obstacle in my life? And you have went out and you've climbed the sycamore. You're here this morning. Okay, Jesus, I'm here. Now, I want to see you. But I want you to look what happened. Not only did Zacchaeus see Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus. Wherever you're at in your life this morning, God knows exactly where you are. Look, I don't always know exactly where you are. I try my best to keep up with what's going on in our church and what's going on in people's lives and families. And man, sometimes it's all I can do to keep up with my own. And I lose track and I forget to send you a text. I forget to call you. I don't realize that you need a visit. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a God in heaven that knows exactly where you are. There's a Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you that knows exactly who you are, what you're going through, and he can be there for you at all times. And I want you to know, as Zacchaeus climbed this sycamore tree, as it was placed there way before Zacchaeus ever knew that he was going to need it, that you have a God that loves you so much that wherever you are in your life, he's already there waiting on you, looking for you, wanting to help you through your circumstance. He says, hurry up, Zacchaeus. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus wants to have that personal relationship with you. Jesus could have just looked up and said, hey, Zach, what's up, man? How you doing? But instead, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, I see where you're at. I know what you did to be able to see me. Zacchaeus, you come on down. Hurry up. Get down here. See, our problem is with God a lot of times is we want things to happen in our time. But Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and he said, you hurry up and get down. Come on down right now. Because what we want to do, now look, my wife's wanting me to buy a car. And yes, I am going to blame it on her. It's all her fault. She's wanting to trade her little car in, or her great big car, and get a smaller car. And now I'm the kind of person, she absolutely, God help us through this car buying process is all I can say. Because my wife can walk onto a lot and go, yep, that's it. I want that one. And I got to go, let's pray about it for a week. And then I'll go back and drive it and go, I got to pray about it again. See, I'm getting the look right now. But sometimes it needs to happen in God's time. Instead of me saying, God, look, I've got something going on, God. And a lot of times God's already there and he's pulling. And he's saying, come on, let's get this thing right. Let me help you with it. Zacchaeus, hurry up and get down, because today I'm going to your house. Zacchaeus, come on. And here in just a minute when we give an invitation, I believe that some of us in our hearts, we're going to hear Christ. We're going to hear that Holy Spirit in our hearts say, come on, get it right. Come on, I know you're in an obstacle. I know you're in a place. I know, but I've done this so that you can see Jesus. I've done this because I want you to see me and recognize me and know who I am in your life. Come on, let's get it right today. Don't let it pull you away from me, but let it bring you closer to me. Because what would you think would happen if Zacchaeus would have looked at Jesus and when Jesus said, hurry up, get down. Come on, I'm going to your house. If Zacchaeus would have said, no, I just wanted to see you. See, I believe Sunday after Sunday, through invitation after invitation and church after church across this county, let's just go to this county, I believe that there's a lot of people who show up to see Jesus. They have something on the inside that they need help with. They have something that's bothering them. They have something that's going on in their life, and they want to see Jesus, but they just don't want to come down. They don't want to let go. Hey, you may have sin in your life that's hard to let go. Hey, let's just put it right where the rubber meets the road. You may have an addiction in your life. Well, preacher, I'm not on heroin. I'm not either. But there are things in this world and in this life that can take a hold of us and put chains on us. Hey, yours might be alcohol. Yours might be pornography. Mine might be money. There's all kinds of different things that can take hold of us and pull on us and pull us away to where we're comfortable just seeing Jesus. Hey, Jesus, how are you? Like it's some kind of parade. When the whole time Jesus is saying, come down. Come on, I want to abide with you. I want to be with you. I want me and you to have a relationship the way that you was created for us to have a relationship. Verse number 7. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I want us to know that when we get to the place when we are abiding with Christ the way that we are supposed to abide with Christ, that the things of this world won't mean that much to us anymore. That we'll have things looking ahead to instead of the things in this world. And Christ will change your life. You might be in a place that's kind of dark right now. You might be in a place that is so good that you're not seeing Jesus right now. If we get our lives right with Christ, it will change our life. I want you to continue reading with me. Verse number 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Zach, if y'all will, come on, get ready to sing for me, brother. Verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now look, I don't know what your obstacle is this morning. You don't know what my obstacle is. You don't know where my problem is. I believe that even we as Christians this morning, I believe if we would all be honest, every one of us in here has a go-to that the devil attacks us with. I don't know what your go-to is, and you don't know what mine is, but I promise you one thing, I do know what my go-to is. And that is the one thing that Satan attacks me with constantly. I don't have a whole lot of trouble with wanting to drink alcohol because I never drank alcohol. I don't have trouble with wanting to chase women because God gave me a woman when I was 17 years old. That's the only woman that I've ever been with, the only one I ever know. That's mine right there. She always will be. And I'm willing to fight for her just in case anybody wants to know. I don't have a lot of trouble with some of those things, but I've got something in my life that Satan attacks me with. I don't know what yours is, but whatever that go-to is, I guarantee you, you know what it is, God knows what it is, and the devil knows what it is. And that's the one thing that's going to give you trouble more than anything in this world. You know what? I have to come to God all the time and say, God, help me. Strengthen me. I don't want to fail again. You might be here and you might be a Christian this morning. You know what your obstacle is. You know your thing that hurts you. It might not even be a sin. It may be something that happened in your life and you're harboring so much hurt that you just can't get in the relationship with God that you need to be in. It may be somebody that done you wrong and you just cannot let it go. I forgive them, but I ain't going to forget it. Well, until you forget it and let it go, it's going to stir up in you all the time. Hey, I've had people do me wrong too. But whatever your one thing is, it's time to hurry up and let go of it and get with Jesus. Because it'll change our life. Because look at verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You remember the scripture where the Bible tells us that there were 99 in the fold and there was one that lost. Are you by yourself? Okay. There was one that was lost. And as that one was lost, the Bible tells us that the shepherd was willing to leave the 99 to go out and to get that one that had went astray. He was willing to go get that one that had went away from the fold. I'm going to tell you what this morning. I would hate to count how many times. I've told y'all a million times that I was saved at 7 years old. I would hate to be able to know. I would hate to even have it numbered down somewhere. How many times I have walked away from God in my Christian life. How many times I have failed God. How many times I have been in a place that was away from God. But yet God always sought me out. God always come looking for me. God always come and said, now Josh, what are you doing way out here? You know it's not safe out here. You know that the wolves will get you out here. Come on back. And not only would he just say, come on back, and try to lead me back to everybody else, but he would pick me up and he would carry me. And he'd say, here, I'm going to carry you back to where you're supposed to be. I don't know where you're at this morning, but God will carry you back to where you're supposed to be. Don't let your obstacles stand in your way. Don't let whatever it is in your life stand in your way, because it may have been placed there. It may have been something that happened in your life in order for you to be able to see Jesus and what he is capable of doing in your life. Don't let it be something that stands in your way from having the relationship with God the way that he wants to have that relationship, because so many times those obstacles that come in our life that are supposed to point us to Jesus, we use them to go the opposite way. Well, if that's what God's going to do for me, I don't want anything to do with him. I had a man tell me that one time. He looked me square in the eye and he said, Josh, you know I was going to church. And my family broke up. My family disintegrated. And if that's what God's got for me, I don't want anything to do with him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't have anything to do with that family breaking up. There was another cause for that. And most of the time it boils right back down to sin somewhere or the other. That God didn't cause that. But don't use that thing. Don't use that sycamore to turn away from God. You use that thing to say, I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus through this. I'm going to get in that fellowship that God wants me to be in with him. God, the devil will try to use anything that he can to get your mind off it. Perfect point, proven example, to try to use something to get your eyes off Christ. But God knows where you're at right now. God knows you come here this morning to see Jesus. You come here this morning to get help of some kind. Maybe just help with your Christian life. Maybe help with a burden. Maybe help with a broken heart. Maybe you come here to worship. Whatever you come here for this morning, you came here to see Jesus in some aspect of your life. Now that you're sitting in the sycamore tree, and now that Jesus is speaking and saying, hurry up and come down, are you going to wave and miss the opportunity, or are you going to come down out of that sycamore tree and go home with Jesus? With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, I would like to ask you this morning, us Christians that are in the congregation, I know that I have been saved, that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. But preacher, I know what you're talking about. I've got that one thing in my life that the devil attacks me with too. Preacher, I know exactly what it is, and I know the devil knows what it is because he attacks me with it. And preacher, I just want you to help me pray about that. Look, y'all don't have to look up, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm raising my hand. I got something in my life that I need y'all to help me pray about that Satan tries to attack me with. Would anybody join me and just say, hey, I know what mine is? Hands all over the church. Everybody's got something that Satan, you put it right back down. Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to tell you something. I don't know what you're doing in the sycamore tree this morning. It's time to hurry up and get down and come to see Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I won't call your name, I won't come to you, I won't even discuss it with anybody except for God. Will you just raise your hand and let me pray for you? Anyone in the church, preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, will you just pray for me? Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to come into your house and to come into your presence. God, I feel like there may be some people sitting in the sycamore tree this morning. God, you placed that tree there so that we could see you. God, as we've come here this morning, I believe that you've spoken to our hearts. God, I pray that you'll help us to respond. God, I pray for all the Christians in the church this morning that raised their hand. God, I pray if they need to come to this altar and talk to you about it, God, give them that strength, that courage. Forget about what anybody else thinks, and let's get our relationship right with you. God, help me in every aspect of my life that I'll seek you. In Jesus' name I pray.